Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to have another opportunity that we might come this way and try to record a message from the Word of God and present this message as we feel like that we should, and following after that, that we think that truly that the Lord's laid upon our heart. And we're just glad to have everyone who's tuned in. Appreciate your attention that you give to the broadcast. Ask that you continue to pray for us and means so much to us and so much help. We just believe that this work is a work that we're supposed to be doing because the Lord has led us in this direction. And we want to bring out those things that truly be the most helpful to any who've tuned in. I don't feel qualified to select those things, but I believe that God, and I trust that God does know what that is that's most needed. So it's to Him that we turn, and thankful to have the opportunity. So appreciate you tuning in. Just ask you to continue to pray for us and support us as you always do. Thank you for it. Appreciate those of you who let us know that you're listening to the broadcast. That's also encouraging. We just hope that as we try to stand and bring these things from the Word of God, that the things that are said, that truly is, it would help and serve to help us all to understand more about God so that we could live closer to Him. So appreciate again you tuning in. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. We've been trying to study some points from what's called the Articles of Faith, and I've referred to this different times, that these articles, that we have them listed at a website that's associated with this broadcast, and that website is called the FisherOfMenBaptistic.com, and there at Fisher of Men Baptistic, you can find several resources there. One of those resources that you find is the Articles of Faith, and there are 18 of them there, and they're broken down with scriptures listed supporting the thoughts in each one of the articles. If you do get a chance to observe those and like to study those in more depth, feel free to access those over the internet. If you have any questions, feel free. There's a place there where that you can get a hold of us by email if you like to communicate that way. We'd be glad to try to share what we can, try to support and help you out as much as we can. And also, you'll find there a link which brings you to this radio station, lists the broadcast times, and also there are copies of previous broadcasts. So if any of that be helpful, any interested in any of those resources, feel free to go and to take part of those. And just hope that they, again, serve to be helpful, and if so, we just want you to be careful to thank the Lord for that. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. So if it's to where you can like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that yet another day which you've allowed us to come forth and be a part of. We are thankful for thy many blessings, thankful for a reasonable portion of health, and thankful for your mercy, watch, care, and protection over us. We ask you to forgive us where we've come short and sin, Father. We come short in service to thee, our God. We pray that you would help us, that we would be such, Lord, that truly would be pleasing to thee. Direct us and strengthen us that, Father, the things which that we strive to do through life, that they'd be directed of thee, our God, and correct our thinking where that thinking's not correct. And grant us wisdom and understanding. That, Father, as a servant of thee, our God, that we truly be a vessel meet for thy use in all things. We pray again, Lord, that you'd remember the sad and needy circumstances, those about us. We thankful, Lord, for those who that reports of health that's been restored. We pray, Father, that you'd remember the oppressed and the lonely and ask you to help us, Father. We might be wise in being such that by the grace of God we could be a neighbor indeed and support and help. And, Lord, we pray mainly for the lost, knowing those who are without soul salvation have the worst condition of all. Pray, God, that you'd open their eyes to their eternal condition, that they'd look to thee and find that you give in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would remember the children of God, direct us, Father, through the many snares of this life, and help us that we could walk in such a way that'd be helpful to those about us. We pray that you would lead the children of God to find the church, help the church, Father, to be firmly established, and let the light of God shine from her, that may others would be drawn and attracted unto her, and not for the sake of the church, but for thine own honor and glory. And we pray, Father, that you bless those you've called to preach. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to speak the word of God. Let us, Lord, and know what that we should study and be prepared. So when opportunity comes and you open the door of utterance, the Father, that those things brought forth would truly be the most beneficial. We ask you again to help our country. Grant, Lord, that she'd be delivered from those things which would harm her. Help her, Father, to be established in those things that are good and right in your eyes. Help us, Lord, to know how to support those in leadership positions as we ought. Pray, Father, again, that you'd remember those soldiers standing in harm's way. Help deliver them from harm and let them be reunited with their families. We pray, Father, again, that you take and use this work. giving us again where we've come short in service to thee. Though we fail to ask many things, fail not to grant. For we do seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we had said earlier, we do have a thought on our heart that we want to try to address. We mentioned before that we've been trying to address what's sometimes called the Articles of Faith. And this is what's been on our heart. We want to continue to address some points related to these articles. I have previously addressed the sixth article, but there are some points out of the fifth I felt like I needed to go back and get. We took up a previous occasion, took up some thoughts off of this very same topic. And because we've done that, we're going to read portions of these articles that are this article, which relates to what we addressed previously. And then with the help of the Lord, we'll try to take up some remaining points that relate to this subject. The subject is justification and what we believe about justification. So we'll begin reading with this. It says, we believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness. That it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood. That it brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God, and secures every other blessing needful for time and eternity. We will take up where we left off before, and this is where that we state that we firmly find the Scriptures to teach that justification not only includes the pardon of sin, but it also includes the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness. Verses which teach this can be found in many places. Some of the most easy to understand that bring to our attention that justification does secure eternal life for those who believe upon Christ Jesus with all their heart. Some of those verses can be found in Romans and in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5, we'll read verse 17. And here we find a comparison about how death was brought into the world. Actually, how men introduced through a man, sin was loosed into the world and death came along with sin. So the Scripture goes further and points out that not only by one man did sin and death enter into the world and pass on to all the human family, but so the way of righteousness came by one man. And so in addressing this, it says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. This is telling us then that through Christ Jesus, that there is this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness which came and brought into this world by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. Later in this same chapter, it says that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns through righteousness by Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says that grace reigns through righteousness with an end, that is, eternal life. I'm thankful today that these eternal blessings for man has been secured in Christ Jesus. That he's the one who introduced it, who brought it into the world. Think about how the Scriptures teach us in such places as the first chapter of John. That the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And of his grace have we received grace. In other words, because of Christ, because Christ freely and willingly gave himself, we receive this unmerited favor from God. Why? Because of our faith in Christ Jesus, our unwithheld faith, straight all given submission unto God with faith in Christ Jesus. So the scriptures do teach that righteousness, that justification, it includes the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Philippians over in chapter 3 of Philippians and in the 9th verse, we find the scriptures here where the apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, speaking of this very point, he said he sought to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that being the righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, the scriptures teach us and that there is righteousness through faith of Christ, that is the righteousness of God, which we receive through faith. Now, Jews that were confronted by the early church, some religious leaders, they being very wise in their own counsel, but through their wisdom, and they remained ignorant of God. Think about how the scripture says this in Romans 10 verse 3. It said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And not that righteousness that we go about and establish and go about making our own and thinking that if we make it high enough or do things correctly enough that then God will be pleased with it and count that as righteousness. No. Not by any works of righteousness which we've done, but through his mercy he'll save us because we put our trust in the righteousness of Christ, seeing ourselves, as it were, empty vessels without anything to offer. An old empty vessel that's broken, that is broken by sin, that is brought down, been brought low because of sin and because of our nature. Is to our tendencies and nature is to go after things which are not right, which are self-pleasing and self-serving, then in seeing ourselves in this condition, realizing we can't work righteousness in ourselves, we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now the scripture goes further in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, as we said in this article of faith, that the promise of eternal life comes to us on the principles of righteousness. It's secured in justification found in Christ. And, as we had read earlier, that this principle, that it's not bestowed in consideration of any works of righteousness which we've done, but solely through faith, in the Redeemer's blood. Some verses which brings this to our attention include from over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that says, for it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is what this article says, that it's bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we've done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood. Another verse of scripture which also gives us this thought is from Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 are familiar scriptures, which says, not of works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, according to the hope of eternal life, And this scripture then is another one that says that it's not by works of righteousness, then rather that we're justified by His grace, so that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this is yet another scripture which tells us that it's not of works, not of things good that we've done. Not like these Jews who are ignorant of God's righteousness, therefore they went about to establish their own righteousness. For they being such as established their own righteousness, they didn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They tried to do it themselves. Think about how another verse of Scripture points this out, pointing out the difference between works and grace. In Romans chapter 4, speaking of Abraham, it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It's through this faith that we receive this righteousness. And it is not of works, because if we were working for it, God wouldn't be giving it to us of grace. It would be of a debt. In other words, He'd owe us. But God doesn't owe us anything, because we have disobeyed. We have been right exactly opposite of what God would have us to be. God says, love Him first and love our neighbors as ourselves. But our own nature is to love ourselves first. And the only reason we love our neighbors is if they seem to love us as we are. And then God. The only reason that we'd want God around is if God can make us happy. Well, that's just right opposite of what the command of God is. God's command is He is worthy of love. And He only asks so much love as we're capable of giving. That is, love Him with all your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Things which that the Scripture says are not grievous, are not grievous. And in as much as through this faith in God, we have a relationship with God that brings about peace, peace down within, then it's all the more reasonable that we would put our trust in Him. But now our article that we're addressing on this subject of justification doesn't stop with saying that we don't receive righteousness by works which we've done, but solely by the pardon which is in the Redeemer's blood. It says also that it brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God, and secures every other blessing needful for time and eternity. Again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we find the Scriptures teach this point when it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." That Scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It speaks of the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Yes, this justification brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God. Think about how men such as the Apostle Paul, men who that were not mighty in battle, as far as what that this world might call mighty in battle, but he was one who was mighty in his trust in the Lord. And he said this, speaking of the Lord and of the confidence which he had been persuaded of in the Lord. You read about how this man was stoned, how this man was rejected and turned aside, but he still stood, preached the gospel in a humble manner to any who would hear. And he says this, he says, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul is like the children of God who've been saved and they put all their trust in the Lord. Those who would go on and follow the Lord with their lives, having been born again, Why? They're declaring their confidence in the Lord and committing themselves unto Him. With that confidence, it says, I'm holding this, putting all my trust in Him against that day. That is the day of death. And my radio friend, I tell you this, if you're not absolutely convinced that you're prepared for the day of death, don't try to talk yourself into it. Know for a certainty where you stand with God. God will let you know. And when that you have that settled with God, you can have that confidence. And you'll know it because of the peace you receive from finding the Lord. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Scripture there says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is yet to come. That's what godliness assures us of, and that comes through the very grace of God in Christ Jesus. One last scripture that we might quote before our time runs out. Out of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, that scripture says, are we the sons of God? It's a current condition, not something we look for, hope to happen out in the future. That scripture says, now are we the sons of God. And I'm thankful today that I can tell you that I am, and I know it wasn't because of anything that I did, but it's because of what Christ did for me, because I put my trust in Him. Time is swiftly come and gone. Hope something's been brought out, it's been helpful. If so, you thank the Lord for that. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for us. Check out the website if you get a chance. If you find more resources there that be helpful, we hope that they will be. Again, this is Mike Bronner praying that God would richly bless you and yours.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.